Chell Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters and skies right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
Please talk to us about my favorite bird, the raven.
Good choice for stick-to-itiveness. The ravens certainly have it.
Clever.
Very clever. Very notorious for their intelligence, right? Rivaling our own capacities in some cases to figure things out. And they certainly know how to get by in our environment and many others, right? They have a huge range. So they cover a lot of different kinds of environments successfully. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I was thinking about ravens is lately was because already starting in the third week in February was the first time I saw ravens doing what was clearly courtship interactions. So it made me think that this whole raven behaviors are another good way to track how the winter is progressing. Mm-hmm. In many cases, the calendar really doesn't tell us all that much. And our, you know, really local weather might not tell us so much. But these behaviors that are consistent with animals and geared towards the length of the day are much more reliable in terms of letting us know for sure just that we are making our way towards another season. So ravens are made for life. And they're our biggest songbirds, so really, no one has any excuse to not be able to identify a raven, right? Big, black. Ravens, as I said, mate for life, and it's in February that they begin to, if they've already been a mated pair, they begin to really solidify and reinforce the bonds, the pair bonds that they already have, or new pairs begin to really establish those for the first time. And among the things that we see them doing then is they're really exuberant flyers. It doesn't matter what time of year, what age, once they're flying, they are really into it. That's the impression one gets of watching. And they're never more exuberant than they are during this time of year. Part of this courtship and pair bonding is to do these amazing wing-to-wing flights, somersaults, flying upside down. They twirl and grab each other's feet and then let go. I mean, it's just really so fun to watch them. Mm-hmm. And because they are up in the sky, away from all the vegetation, and not necessarily way high up, you know, like eagles might fly.
We can see them.
Yeah, we can actually watch this and just be amazed by the acrobatics that they can perform. And sometimes there's lots of fun vocalizations that go on during that. Another thing we see in terms of the pair bonding is exchange of food. So one of the pair will, especially the males, will get food and bring it to the female, and they'll pass it in flight or when they're perched somewhere. And that's partly to let the male let the female know that, yeah, I'm committed to what I'm going to be doing while you're sitting on the nest.
I'm going to be feeding you.
I'm going to be feeding you. You can rely on me. Mm-hmm. I'll be there with the grub. Both parents or would-be parents will also pick up sticks and carry them around, and eventually they'll be carrying them to wherever they're going to nest. In the case of some pairs will be nesting in nests that they've already established in the past, and those nests just get added to. Others will be starting fresh if they're a new pair, or if they're a mated pair that decides for some reason, maybe the tree broke that in some of those big winds we had this year broke off and they lost their spot. They tend to pick big forks in large trees. So it could be an aspen, a white pine. So they needs to be kind of an open canopy in the tree, but and big limbs, you know, so there are big forks to because their nests can get to be quite heavy. You think about sticks and like all of the birds in the corvid family, they like bright shiny things and unusual objects. So it's not unusual to see some funny thing, you know, poking out or standing out. So they right now at this date, there may actually be some raven eggs that have already been laid in the nest or will be very soon. The females lay eggs about one every couple days, and eventually they might lay four to up to seven. That's kind of unusual, but up to seven eggs. And they pretty much stay in the nest and rely on the male to be fed as soon as they start laying. Once they start incubating, that incubation will go on for about 21 days to hatch those birds, which then once you might be able to see them sticking their heads up would be a dull brown, kind of a dull brown. So the female will stick there as long as the incubation needs to happen, and the male feeds her and takes care of her. Once she can not be incubating all the time, then she'll begin to feed herself, but also be part of the team feeding all these new mouths.
If they nest that early, if they have eggs laid that early in the season, those little birds must get kind of chilly. So if the mom leaves, does the dad then go and sit near the fledglings?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
The female probably doesn't leave or stop incubating or, you know, leave and spend significant times away until the birds are fluffed out. Whether the male helps her out during that space of time between when they initially hatch and when they would be completely feathered in downy feathers, I'm not sure. But eventually, both parents are helping with the feeding and, of course, feeding themselves. It's about 5 to 6 weeks that the young take to go from hatch to fledged. By later in April, one might expect to see them out and about. And if we thought adults are fun to watch, I think juvenile ravens are the best fun to watch, because they're like any young thing. They're intensely curious. They're learning, you know, about their bodies and how to work them and work with them and use them to their own advantage. They interact a lot with each other. The young do, like lots of other animals, young. If you're one of the lucky people who has a raven nest that you know of that's right in your neighborhood, it's going to be really fun between now and into the early summer, because they'll be hanging in the territory there and the adults will be enforcing those territorial boundaries. So we can expect to see, you know, those kinds of encounters, adult on adult encounters, to make it clear, you're not allowed. I would say I haven't seen as many ravens around our place inland this winter as many others, and I'm guessing that that's in part because so much of the predator-prey action is happening down close to the lake since the deer moved out a long time ago, and the moose population having shrunk as much as it has, that there just isn't the food resources for ravens inland, at least in our area, that there have been in decades past. So I'm looking forward to when they're out and about more.
Indeed. Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods and skies. Thanks for talking to us about ravens.
You're welcome.